Well, good evening. How are y'all doing this evening? That's good. Well, we'll start off by singing We Are an Offering, Stand If You Can. Welcome those of us online, too.
We lift our hands, we lift our lives up to you. We are an offering, Lord, use our voices, Lord, use our hands, Lord, use our lives, they are yours. We are an offering. Our hands, we lift our lives up to you. We are an offering, we are an offering, and all that we have, all that we are, and all that we hope to be, we give to you. We lift our hands, we lift our lives up to you. We are an offering, we are an offering.
Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me, it covers me. It covers me. It covers me. It covers me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me, it covers me. 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 Covers me. It covers me. Amen. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Stand up, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this His glorious day. Ye that are men, now serve Him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise to danger, and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him who overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Amen. Anybody got a pick of him this evening? 581, alrighty. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus on 581.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Amen. Any others?
Yeah.
I'll fly away? Alrighty. What? 775? 772? 779? All right, great. I'll fly away. Yeah, 779, I'll fly away. All right.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away when the shadows of this life have gone. I'll fly away like a bird from prison bars has flown. I'll fly away Oh, fly away, oh glory, oh, fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, oh, fly away. Just a few more weary days and then, oh, fly away. To a land where joy shall never end. Oh, fly away. Oh, fly away, oh glory. Oh, fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by. Oh, fly away.
Amen. Any others? Going once, going twice.
Amen, amen. Very good, very good. Okay, good to see each and every one of you this evening. Those of you with us online, good to have you with us this evening as well. Do we have any praises tonight? Praises. What you got there, Loopy? Loopy got a praise. All the time. God is good. Amen. Yeah? Right? Yes.
Two tests that the doctors want her to take to see the stage of the cancer and all of these different things and where it's at if it's traveled.
Right.
And so they kept putting her on hold, because they have to validate through the insurance. And then they finally got this one. She thought they were going to get this one scheduled. And then the whole system at St. Luke's shut down.
Wow.
And they couldn't get it scheduled. So I was thinking about it, and I had remembered that my little friend Kelsey, remember you did the funeral for Hoppy?
Yeah.
Kelsey. Well, she had told me over a couple years ago, that she was over a whole string of imaging centers.
Oh, wow.
And so I said, I hadn't talked to her for a while. I said, Rosemary, I'm going to just see. You never know.
Yeah.
So we called her, and so she got all her information, and she was having trouble with insurance. And then she called back. She goes, you know what? You just tell Miss Rosemary, come on in. I'm going to do the test for her. And I'm going to do it for free. I am going through the insurance. And so she was able to get her in and get her in to do that test. And so
that's amazing.
It's a blessing. So she's got one more test to do. That looks like Kelsey might be able to get her in to do that one too, because the insurance is still clogged up. And so we're, Lord willing, she'll do that one on this week, Monday or Tuesday.
Well, and that was Kelsey that helped her?
Kelsey, yeah.
I remember
it's just
Kelsey.
A small world.
Yeah, small world.
I know,
man.
It's just wonderful.
Amen, amen. All right, all right. Very good. All right, all right. Good deal, good deal. What else? Any other praises?
We had a lot of visitors this morning.
Yeah, we had our people from Arkansas that come and house sit for their kids, so they were here. And then Penny Honaker had a visitor friend.
Patricia Lee.
Patricia, last name Lee?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Patricia Lee. Did Ronnie wasn't here, so we didn't know if he knew her, huh? Ronnie Lee. I don't think I have a Patricia or a lot of Lees, brother, like Smith. Smith, Jones, Smith, Lee. There's a lot of them. Amen. That's right. All right. They're very good. Yeah, it's good to have you. Yes, what you got, brother?
Alita Vaculik, praising the Lord, my surgery went well and
yes.
am now recovering. Thank
okay.
you, church, for all your prayers.
Amen. Surgery went well. That's good, good, good. Amen. All right. Anything else? Any other praises? Huh? Kevin's still going to church. Praise the Lord.
And I see we have a little visitor here tonight, too.
She said she wanted to come to her old church.
Is that right?
Amen.
Amen, amen, sister.
Amen. That's good. Good word. Good word, good word. All right, well, let me take you through the prayer request. We'll add to it as you see fit. Ann Redmond had her bone marrow tested last week. I want to say she said on Friday. Doctors are trying to figure out why she's not producing enough blood. So be in prayer for Miss Ann as she continues to struggle with her health and go through these different tests. I want to continue to pray for the country of Ukraine. I mentioned this morning, you've probably seen on the news, about the bridge linking Crimea to the mainland. Blown up, part of it. So who knows, they may get the rest of it here in the next week or two. Continue to pray for Ukraine that they can drive out the Russian aggressors. Pray for Samaritan's Purse that's over there in the midst of all that. And we'll just continue to lift that up, okay? And then hopefully Terry Kimball. Has anybody heard from Terry? I'm assuming Terry Kimball is hopefully stateside.
I believe she's back because Vince is at the lake with all the grandchildren.
Okay.
So I'm assuming.
She must be home then. Amen.
Knowing he can't handle that by himself.
Right. Well, we'll pray for their traveling mercies if they're at the lake with grandkids. Traveling mercies. Amen. Okay. Want to continue to pray for our shut-ins. Continue to pray for our unspokens. Continue to pray for Miss Alita's eye healing from her surgery. Continue to pray for Ronnie Holman and his cancer fight. Pray for our country. Elections are less than a month away. Is that correct? Yes. November. Has early voting started?
October 20th. Yeah. I think it's 24th.
No, it's Thursday the 20th.
Thursday the 20th, early voting starts.
Yeah.
Okay.
General election is November the 11th.
November the 11th. But we can start casting our vote on the 24th. Okay. All right, I'm going to get online because I like voting early.
Last week, October, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to vote early and miss the line. That's what I like to do. Miss the line. Vote early and miss the line. Amen. All right, so be in prayer for the elections. Pray for rain. May get a chance of rain the end of this week, but boy, we sure do need it. And then as Luffy mentioned, we want to continue to pray for Rosemary in her battle with breast cancer, okay? All right, any other prayer requests? Yes, sir. John Davlin, yeah, amen. Yeah. John Davlin, very good. All right, what else? Loopy got a prayer request.
So Robert, and this is a praise and prayer request. Robert went to the doctor, and he got the okay from his shoulder to go ahead and go back to work.
Okay.
So it's healing up really good, and he goes back on tomorrow, and just he's on light duty, but he just has a hard time doing light duty. So pray that he will not do anything to mess up his shoulder.
Yeah, right. Amen.
And just keep him in prayer. And also Colin, his son, my son, is having a hard time, and just pray for salvation for him, and then God would work out. He knows the details of everything, things going on in his life.
Okay. Amen. Pray for Colin's salvation. Amen, amen. What else? Anything else? All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Before we do, let's have our announcements before we get into the prayer time. We've got men's and women's Bible study. That's tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, next door in the Sunday School building. And then the annual men's fundraiser, going to be a fish fry this year, this coming Saturday, 12 to 4. All right. So don't forget that. Amen, amen. So I got us covered on announcements. Good. All right. Fall Festival on the 31st, which is a Monday, and we are taking candy donations in the orange trash can, pumpkin, or cash, or check. If you give check, please make it out to New Hope Baptist Church. All right. Very good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we thank you for all your goodness and all your grace towards us, your forgiveness, your grace, your mercy, Lord. Thank you for all of it. We thank you that we have a place to meet tonight, a place we can sing in, a place we can study the Word of God. And, Lord, that's safe, free. And, Lord, we just love you for that. Thank you, Lord, that we have a church family, a church home. We praise you and thank you for that. Lord, we're thankful for visitors today. And, Lord, we pray that you'd continue to send them. And, Lord, they would some stick. And so, God, we pray that we just continue to see them come in and get a taste of what's going on. And, Lord, want to plant their lives and their spiritual gifts right here at New Hope. So, Lord, we pray with a heavy heart you would continue to send those visitors our way. We praise you and thank you for them today. Lord, we praise you for Alita's successful eye surgery. And, Lord, we just pray that eye now would continue to heal. And, Lord, vision would get crisp and clear and everything that's supposed to happen. It would just happen and it's a normal time. And, Lord, we pray that she'd just be able to get back to normal. We continue to praise you for Kevin and leading his family spiritually, Lord. We're thankful that he's still hanging in there with the church. And, Lord, we pray that would continue. And, Lord, you just grow him in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. So we just give you praise for that tonight. Lord, as we think about our prayer requests, we lift up Ann Redmond to you tonight. We pray for her health. We pray for these tests that she's had to undergo. And, Lord, we just pray that you strengthen her body. Lord, whatever's causing the blood issue, we just pray that you might touch her and bring healing to her, Lord, and just allow her to feel better, allow her body and her bone marrow to produce the blood that her body needs to function. And so, Lord, we just lift Ann up to you tonight and pray you touch her in just a mighty way and bring healing to her body. We continue to lift up the Ukrainian people, Lord, and we pray that you just give them a strong stick-to-itiveness and just give them a strong a will to win and to battle on and to continue to drive out the aggressor. Lord, we pray for these Russian men that have been almost shanghaied into the military and with no training sent almost to a sure slaughter. Lord, we pray for them, and Lord, we pray that you might intervene before any more loss of life or bloodshed on either side has to happen. But Lord, we pray that the thing that seems to be causing it, the impetus of it all, President Putin, Lord, we pray that in your sovereignty and wisdom that you might deal with that situation as you see fit, Lord. But we continue to lift up this war and the Ukrainian people. We pray for Samaritan's Purse that's there. Franklin Graham, Lord, his organization, we pray that you protect those people, that you continue to allow them to have a great impact for the gospel and for the kingdom as they help medically. They help with social needs, Lord, and medical needs, and in the midst of that, they sow the seeds of the gospel. So, Lord, we just pray for them, pray for their protection, pray for their great impact over there in the midst of that horror, over in the midst of that war. Lord, we're thankful for Miss Terry and Vince, and Lord, we pray for their traveling mercies there coming home from the lake. Lord, just watch over them as they spend time with family and with grandkids. And Lord, we pray it's just a special good time for them this weekend. Lord, we think about our shut-ins, and we pray for them tonight. Lord, we pray you keep them encouraged, you help them. Lord, we lift up Miss McNew again. We pray for her appetite. We're praying for her physical therapy, Lord. Pray that you just help her get strength back in her body. Help her eat what's put before. And Lord, we just pray that you would just help Miss Barbara in that situation. Those with unspokens, Lord, we lift them up to you. And Lord, as they think about those unspokens and perhaps pray that sentence prayer tonight silently, Lord, Father God, we pray that you give them the faith. You give them what they need, Lord, to carry that thing and to lay it down again at your feet. And, Lord, we thank you that you're sovereign and in control. And, Lord, we just acknowledge the fact that when we don't know how to pray, that there you are, you're interceding on our behalf. And so we praise you and thank you for that tonight. Ronnie Holman, Lord, we lift him up to you and his cancer. We pray that these chemo treatments would just bring healing to his body, that would shrink the cancer, remove the cancer, eradicate the cancer from his body, Lord. We pray that his body would be able to receive the chemo. And, Lord, he would be able to just withstand the treatment. Sometimes the cure is makes us sicker than the sickness. So, Lord, we're lifting Ronnie up to you, praying that you strengthen his body and allow him to get past this cancer. Lord, we've continuing to pray for our country. We pray for our president, his cabinet. We pray lift up our military tonight to you, pray for their safety and protection. Lord, we're praying for our Congress, our House, and our Senate. Lord, at the state level, we're praying for our governor, lifting him up. all the elections that are coming, Lord, we just pray in that Christians would get out and vote a Christian conscience, and there'd be a bunch of them vote. Lord, we pray that they would come out, step out, get involved in the democratic process, Lord, and you just lead God and direct us, Lord. We'd vote for good Christian platforms and for good Christian causes. Lord, we're thankful that thus far here in 2022 that religion is still protected. Worship of Almighty God is still protected. We can still preach all the Bible without being arrested or persecuted. So, Lord, we give you praise and glory for that. But, Lord, we pray that we would continue to have a government where that is possible, where that is a reality, where we can send missionaries from this country and mission dollars to places that need it. So, Father God, we're just praying for our country. We're praying for the elections. We're praying for this oil crisis with OPEC. We're praying for the inflation to come down. We're just praying, Lord, that we'd get a respite from everything that's been going on from this COVID business the last 2 years, Lord, that you just kind of turn things around. We know things run in cycles, but, Lord, we're ready for things to cycle in a better way. So, God, help us as a country. Help our government. And, Lord, we're just lifting up these elections to you. We continue to pray for rain. And, Lord, we know that you can open the skies and bless us with showers of blessing. And so, Lord, we're lifting that up to you, making that a request to you. And, Lord, just praying that you catch us back up as you once did here about a month ago. You caught us up with some great rain. So, Lord, we're just praying you catch us back up again. Green things up, Lord. It's so nice when it rains and everything greens back up. So, Lord, we're just lifting that up to you and praying that you might send some rain. Lord, again, we're lifting up Rosemary to you. We're praying for her healing from breast cancer. Thank you for this intervention with Kelsey and getting this test done. And, Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory for that. But, Lord, we're praying for her healing. We're thankful for John, Lord, and his recovery, John Davlin. We just pray that you continue to help him and work with him and work through him. And then, Lord, Loopy's husband, Robert, we pray for his shoulder. Pray that it would continue to mend and come back together and it would heal fully. And, Lord, he would not do anything to hamper that healing process as he goes back to work on light duty. We just pray that you give him wisdom and discernment on what and what not to do as he gets back at it up there at the job site. And then for his son and Loopy's stepson, Colin, Lord, we pray for him. And we're praying for his salvation. We pray you give him wisdom and discernment. Lord, we just pray you help him navigate life. But, Lord, we pray you might place him in a situation where he has to decide to receive you as personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We love you for it, and we thank you that we can be in it. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, All right. Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus, all right. And we have read, I think we've read all of 1 through 17. Oh, my goodness. We'll pick it up here in verse 14, right? I'll invite you to stand if you'd like to. Leviticus chapter 1, verses 14 through 17 tonight. Amen? Take a run at that one. Leviticus chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. You found it this evening? Yes? Word of God reads, but if his offering to the Lord is a burnt offering of birds, then he shall bring his offering from the turtle doves or from young pigeons. The priest shall bring it to the altar and wring off its head and offer it up in smoke on the altar, and its blood is to be drained out on the side of the altar. He shall also take away its crop with its feathers and cast it beside the altar eastward to the place of the ashes. Then he shall tear it by its wings, but shall not sever it. And the priest shall offer it up in smoke on the altar, on the wood which is on the fire. It is a burnt offering, an offering by fire, a soothing aroma to the Lord. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God as we continue on in this book study or book series on the book of Leviticus. This is the law of the burnt offerings, the fifth installment of it, and what we have talked about thus far as we've looked at some observations concerning the burnt offering. We covered about 9 of those. And then we looked at the burnt offering and the ancient Israelite. And we covered that pretty good on Wednesday. Now, in review, where are the two, in review, where are the two major interpretive keys to the meaning of the burnt offering to be found? Well, in the burnt offerings of Noah in Genesis 8, and in the burnt offering of Abraham in Genesis 22. Those are the two interpretive keys whereby we get an understanding of what this burnt offering is to mean. Because we see it in Leviticus chapter 1, 1 through 17, and we know how it's to take place. But we're trying to wring out of the Bible, so to speak. You know, when you get done with your bath or your shower, and you take your wash rag, you want to, I guess I'm kind of peculiar, but I take my wash rag and I fold it, and then I roll it up, and then I wring it out. Amen? Because Mama don't like what? She don't like that drippy shower water in her dirty towel bin, right? So that's what I do, amen? So we're trying to wring out tonight in chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, or the rest of the Old Testament, what this thing meant to the ancient Israelites, right? So what are the two big takeaways from those two interpretive keys that we covered on Wednesday night? Genesis 8, one interpretive key. Genesis 22, the other interpretive key. What are the two big takeaways? One, the burnt offering dealt with the offerer's sinfulness or depravity. Remember that depravity? We're going to mention depravity again tonight. And number two, the burnt offering was a foreshadowing of the coming Messiah, which was a mystery to the Old Testament saint. But nonetheless, the Israelites knew God was working on their behalf. And that's a good feeling, amen? That's a good thing to know, that God is working on my behalf. You believe that? That God works on your behalf, amen? That He's behind the scenes, that He's in control, that He is sovereign, working on your behalf. That is a great assurance. That is a great comfort that God is working on our behalf. Now, as we continue on this evening, where we ended last Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night, we said the burnt offering, and we begin to cover the burnt offering and how it relates, the burnt offering, to the New Testament saint. And as we ended Wednesday night's Bible study, we said regardless of what the ancient Israelite understood of the symbolism of the burnt offering in terms of its future fulfillment in Christ, Christ was the ultimate fulfillment, the antitype of the burnt offering. And I explained to you what antitype means. Antitype is a person or a thing that is foreshadowed or represented by a type or symbol, especially a character or event in the New Testament prefigured in the Old Testament. So this burnt offering is the antitype of Christ, all right? Christ is the anti. They tied together, amen? Make sense? They go together. John the Baptist, we said, indicated this at the very outset of the Lord's ministry when he greeted him with the words in John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Amen? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I love it, man. Who takes away the sin of the world. See, some people believe that Jesus merely died for the sins of the saved. But boy, when you read the Bible, He died for the sins of the world. The sins of the world. Jesus' offer is to all the ethne. When you read world there in the Greek, it's ethne, the ethnics, right? All the people groups, right? All the way around the world. From the Eskimos where it's really cold to those that are paddling those canoes in the South Pacific. I mean, all of them. Amen? He died for all of our sin debt. I love it. Yes, yes? Amen, amen? So, as we think about Jesus, the Lamb of God, as we think about Jesus as the Lamb of God, we must agree with the theology of the book of Hebrews in particular, and the theology of the New Testament in general. What do you mean by that? Well, that now that Christ has come as the Lamb of God and died once for all, there is no longer a need for the burnt offering, the type of which the Lord is the ultimate and final antitype. Praise the Lord, we don't have to do that. We don't have to kill the bulls. We don't have to kill the goats and the lambs. We don't have to kill the birds. I mean, you know, you want to eat, right? You got to kill that to eat that, but you don't have to kill that to offer that. Make sense? Now, it might seem that if the burnt offering is no longer necessary for us, New Testament saints, then we must conclude that the burnt offering is no longer relevant, since the future meaning of that sacrifice has been realized in Christ. Now, as we think about that statement, there is a sense in which this conclusion is absolutely correct, that it's no longer necessary for us as New Testament saints, and we must conclude that the burnt offering is no longer relevant since the future meaning of that sacrifice has been realized in Christ. But however, there is another sense in which this conclusion can be carried too far. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, in other words, there is an applicability of the burnt offering to New Testament saints today. That's why we preach all of the Bible, because it all has relevance. Even the Old Testament has relevance to those of us living in the church age. I mean, some people think, you know, man, just get me from Matthew to Revelation. I'm living in the church age. I don't got time to go dabbling around in the Old Testament. I got too many things going on. Are you kidding me, preacher? There's a lot going on in the first five books of the Bible, and you want me to read all that and study all that and go through all that? I'm telling you, you need it all, right? You need all the Word of God, right? So in other words, there's an applicability of the burnt offering to New Testament saints, right, in this church age today. What do you mean by that? Well, I'll try to explain it to you. We know Jesus is the Lamb of God. Yes, yes? Amen. Right? Well, the burnt offering was symbolic in the sense that it represented and portrayed in advance the ultimate burnt offering of Jesus Christ. We're all on the same page with that, right? Everybody on the same page? The burnt offering also symbolized the Old Testament saints' faith in God's provision for his sin and for his access to God. You understand that? When the Old Testament saint placed his hand on the animal and then cut its throat, right, and started bleeding that sucker out, he had faith that the life and the blood covered his sinful depravity and allowed him one more opportunity to have access with God. You get that? Everybody on the same page with that? Amen. Yes, yes, yes. All right. So the burnt offering symbolized the Old Testament's faith in God and his intention to love God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, with all of his strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, right? I mean, that's what worship does for us. Makes us a better version of who we are, makes us more to the image of Christ. Amen? Still with me? Well, in the midst of this worshipful dynamic, what was the issue with the Israelites' worship? Well, I'll tell you what it was. It's the same thing that goes on today. People have not changed much, right? I mean, we've got technology hanging on our hip, and we think we're somebody with air-conditioned air, right? And we don't ride horses, we drive cars, amen? I mean, you know, but the human nature has not what? Well, it ain't changed, brother. In the midst of this worshipful dynamic, what was the issue with the Israelites' worship? Just like today, often the Israelites' worship did what? Deteriorated. Deteriorated to what, preacher? To mere ritualism, when the sacrifices were offered, which means what? Preacher, that means that the faith and obedience, which the worship symbolized, did not follow. In other words, sometimes for the Israelites, they got into the rut of just going through the motions of worship. Make sense? Yeah. So when this happened, God would send them a prophet. And what would the prophet tell them? Well, the prophet was the come on back guy. You've got to the wrong end. You need to come on back to this end and begin again, begin afresh with God and get your mind and your heart right. And when you're thinking about coming and bringing that animal, You want to really connect with God. That's how you connect with God, is bringing that sacrifice. And so when you lay your hand on that animal before you slit its throat, you don't want to be thinking about anything else but how that life and that blood of that animal is covering your sinful depravity so that you can have access with God. And friends, the prophet would say, you've not been doing that. You've been going through the motions. You're not really connecting with God because you're not really focused on God. You got one foot in over here in the temple, and you got one foot in over there with that pagan temple. And the prophet would say, that ain't going to hunt. That dog ain't going to hunt. Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Micah, of course, a minor prophet, but listen to what he said. He said, with what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come to Him with burnt offerings? With yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Right? So, basically what the prophet would say is that going through the motion worship is no worship at all. Going through the motion worship is no worship at all. Oh, you can bring all the burnt offerings you want. You can offer all the oil you want. You can lay as much on the altar as you want. But if the worship ain't changing you, if the worship's not changing you, there's something wrong with your worship. Amen? Does that make sense? Oh, man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? Oh, man, this worship should change you. It should change you to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Yes, yes? So let's make the connection between the two testaments. The faith and obedience of the Israelite, which the sacrifices of the burnt offering symbolized and which was required by God of the Israelite, is the same faith and obedience which the death of Christ is to produce in all who profess Him as Savior, in which God requires of us. Make sense? Yeah? Does that make sense? Yes, yes. So, we're saved. We've got Christ inside of here. And so that faith produces what? It's supposed to produce some things in us. Fruit of the Spirit, yeah. Testimony of life, testimony of Christianity, yeah. A witness to the lost, yeah. Makes sense, yes. Right? These acts of faith and obedience, these acts of faith and obedience are described by the New Testament writers by the use of the same sacrificial terminology as is employed in the Old Testament. You kind of figuring out where I'm going here? Let me ask you the question. Are you ready for the connection between the two testaments? Are you ready for it? Because here it is. Christian service in a church, Christian service in the community is the direct correlation to bringing those animals to the Old Testament tabernacle and later on to the temple. Does that make sense to you? There's a correlation here, right? Now, we've done a disservice to people through the years because we've wanted to count nickels and noses as churches, and so we've been concerned for their ever-living soul, getting them through the baptistry, and getting them on the roll. But friend, if the Bible doesn't light their fire, if the worship doesn't light their fire, if prayer time doesn't light their fire, something's amiss. Something is amiss, right? Listen to the Bible and see if it doesn't ring true to your heart. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. It says, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice. But it doesn't say of a bull or a goat or a sheep or a bird. It says, through him then, let us, through him being Jesus, right? Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice. Are you ready for it? Of praise. A sacrifice of praise to God. Amen? A sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Yes, yes? And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Boy, you want some fragrant aroma going up to the abode of heaven? Follow Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. It's almost like the same thing. A beautiful aroma to heaven. Here's another one, Philippians chapter 4, 18. This is Paul writing back to the church at Philippi. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you, the church of Philippi, what you have sent. And he says it. He just goes on and says it. He says, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. You getting the connection? Amen, amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 says, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up, Peter says, spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You see how the testaments are connected? You see how it's all coming together? Do we get this connection? Do we get what's going on in the Bible? The only burnt offering that can atone for sin has been made by Christ. Christians no longer have to bring their lambs or their bulls or their goats or their doves or their pigeons to the altar to receive forgiveness of sins. But bringing a sacrifice involved praising God for his grace and declaring one's intention to love God and to keep his commandments. So let me give you the application. Now that animal sacrifice is obsolete, praise and good works by themselves constitute the proper sacrifices expected of a Christian. Oh, there it is. There's the connection. Yeah. I think a lot of people think, I walk the aisle, I stir those baptismal waters, and I'm done. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Well, is all this stuff you're talking about, is that how we're paying for it? No, we're not paying for it. All this stuff I'm talking about is because we are saved. Amen? We are saved. You know, the human heart, the human mind, the human psyche, been created by God to worship the Creator. I mean, we've been created in the image to worship the one who created, the one who made us. Amen, amen? There's yet another way in which the sacrifices apply to us. It's a connection of principles. The same principles which the sacrifices were intended to teach the Israelites and those which these sacrifices teach us, these principles still apply today as much as in the days of the Israelites. Now, let me try to identify a few of these principles and suggest some of their practical implications to us New Testament saints. And know this, as we go on further down the road in the book of Leviticus, as we get deeper into the study of it, we shall pursue these principles that I just kind of mentioned in greater detail. But the first one we've already covered, but I'll end with it tonight. And you know where I'm going, hopefully. And that's the principle of man's depravity? Amy, you remember that? Man's depravity. How many of you remember our sinful nature? We've covered it. The principle of man's depravity. The burnt offering was not an offering for a specific sin, but was associated with other offerings and with various occasions. We talked about how they tagged that burnt offering onto so many things, right? From mourning, you know, broken heart, to repentance, to celebration, to even to joy. The purpose of this sacrifice, this burnt offering, I believe, was to be a reminder to the Israelites of man's depravity, our sinful nature, man's depravity. As God himself put it again, referring back to Genesis 8, which is one of our interpretive keys, Genesis 8, 21, the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. That's just the way we are. In any instance, when an Israelite wanted to approach God to worship him, to be accepted by him, he had to come with a burnt offering, thus acknowledging and making provision for his sinfulness. We ought not to forget. We ought not to forget our own depravity. Now, it's my contention. I think if you've sat under my preaching for any length of time, I think you can tell that my contention with the modern church is that they play that down. They don't want to tell people about their depravity. They think if they go there, they'll push people away. But I've been doing this long enough, I don't want any converts. I want converts to Jesus. I don't want my own converts. Amen. So I'm not wanting you to, I'm not gonna save you. I'm not the fourth person of the Trinity. I'm just the come on back guy. That's all I'm doing. Beggar showing other beggars where the bread be. That's it. So I don't want converts. So I'm going to tell you like the Bible tells you, right? We have a sinful nature that has to be what? The Bible talks about daily circumcision. The Bible talks about daily circumcision, right? Well, how can we be, well, we spiritually circumcise ourselves. How do we spiritually cut ourselves? How do we spiritually cut our flesh daily? Well, you cut your sinful nature daily by the Word of God, by the power of prayer, by worshiping with the saints. That's how it's done. Amen? That is how it's done. That's how you continually keep that sinful nature at check. Hey, man, when you got saved, the penalty of your sin has been taken care of. The power of sin over you is no longer the power it once was before your salvation. But I've lived long enough to 55 years of age knowing that if you don't feed the Holy Spirit, that old sinful nature is coming back after you, friend. It's coming back after you. It's not neutral. It's not thrown in neutral, right? You know when you throw a car in neutral, it goes nowhere? No, man, that sinful... That you get saved and your old sinful nature, which is why we die physically, says, okay, buddy boy, I'm putting it in low gear and I'm seeking to pull you over here so that you're such a dysfunctional Christian, that your spiritual life is such in shambles that you can't point anybody else to the gospel or to the cross. I'm putting it in low gear. You bet. If you want to battle with me, you better cut me every day. You better cut me and bleed me every day. You want to battle this flesh? You better cut me. And so, what do we seek to do? We seek to cut that flesh. Hey, man, I'm not going to feed you. I'm going to feed the Holy Spirit. I'm going to feed my spirit that's alive via the Holy Spirit. I'm going to put the Word of God in there, and I'm going to put prayer in there, and I'm going to put corporate worship in there. And when I do that, you over here in first gear trying to pull me the wrong way, slice. You can be worried about your You're cut. And then the next day, you know what I'm going to do to you? You're not going to pull me down the wrong path. You know why? Because first thing in the morning, I'm going to cut you again, right? And so, what happens? My old sinful nature, my depravity, instead of trying to be on offense all the time, taking me away, I get it on defense. I put it on defense. Yeah. Hey, guess what we're... Hey, sinful nature, guess what we're doing in the morning? We're going to be in the Word. We're going to pray. And you're not going to like that much. I'm going to tell you now, it's going to cut. It's going to cut you. But you know what we're going to do the next day? The same thing. Hey, you know what we're going to do Sunday? Are you ready, sinful nature? We're going to take you to church. You know what's going to happen to you in there, sinful nature? The Word of God's going to wash over you. You know what it's going to feel like? It's going to feel like another blade coming across you. I'm going to cut you, sinful nature, and cut you. I can't kill you, but the Bible says I can daily circumcise you, and so I'm going to do it, right? I'm going to do it. So my contention with the modern church is most of them, there are still some men that are not afraid to preach all of God's Word. Praise the Lord for them. But my contention is with most of it, they water that sinful depravity down. They don't want to put that on people. They think they drive them away. It's the Holy Spirit that brings people, by the way. The Holy Spirit draws them in. It's the Holy Spirit that saves them, right? We have a part to play. That's worshiping in spirit and truth. That's obeying the Bible, right? Seeking to do that. Amen. Does that make sense to you? All right, let me continue on because that wasn't in the script. Amen. The principle of man's depravity. The burnt offering was not an offering for a specific sin, but was associated with other offerings. We've covered that. The purpose of this sacrifice, I believe, was to be a reminder of the Israelite of what? Man's depravity, right? In any instance, when an Israelite wanted to approach God to worship Him, to be accepted by Him, he had to come with a burnt offering, thus acknowledging and making provision for his sinfulness. And what I said was, we ought not to forget our own depravity. So how does the principle apply to Christians today? As time has run out and it's dark, but let's go ahead and cover it. The truth is that Christ died once for all our sins, but the truth is also that we will not be freed from sin's presence until we are in the presence of God with transformed bodies. So our present condition is the reason we must either physically die or be raptured as the church. Does that make sense? And to enter into heaven in a different form. A different form. You still recognize me. I still recognize you. But it's going to be mo better. A different form. Paul tells us about the different form where? In the most explanatory, the most detailed chapter in all of the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 15. It lays it out what that different form is going to be, that resurrected body. But because we're still corrupted by a sin nature, we need to suspect and we need to scrutinize our every motive and our every action. We need to realize that whether we are witnessing or whether we are preaching or whether we are serving or whether we are working here or working there, our actions can appear to be pious, can appear to be good, can appear to be spiritual, but can be prompted by the basest of motives. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So like, is that clock right? Yes, it is. That clock is right. All right. So let me try to close it out this way. We need to realize that we're in need of the present intercession and mediation of Christ. the present intercession and mediation of Christ, that we need Him every hour, that we need Jesus every moment, right? The only reason why we can approach God is due to the sacrificial work of Christ. So, I'll keep it short, but I'll end it this way right here. Philippians chapter 2:5 says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bond servant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, also God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, Philippians 2:5 says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." Think that. Think attitude. And then when you think about Philippians 2:5 in the contemporary English version, it says, "And think the same way that Christ Jesus thought." So attitude, thought. And then if you really want to get down to the nitty-gritty, Philippians 2:5 in the King James Version says, "Let this mind be in you." Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ. See, the mind of Christ. That is the way to offer your burnt offerings that you don't offer anymore. That is the way to bring the sacrifice into the temple that you don't bring your sacrifice into the temple anymore, is by having the mind, the attitude, the thought life of Christ. Does that make sense? Amen. All right. Well, we'll pick up on it again when we gather together on Wednesday night. Thank you all for being here. Online folks, good to have you. Let's close it out with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We thank You, Lord, for our Bible study. Thank You, God, that we can take another run here at Leviticus. We seek to get on down the road with this burnt offering and start looking at other offerings and other principles and truths contained in this great book of Leviticus. But Lord, we're thankful for how we've talked about how this burnt offering relates to the Old Testament saint, what it means, the interpretive keys of it, Lord, and then how the burnt offering, we pivot and how it relates to us in the church age, Lord. Thank You that we get to see the connection between the two testaments, the continuity, Lord, the Jesus-ness of the Bible, beginning in the old and all the way through the new. So, Lord, we praise You for that as well. Thank You for loving us, and thank You for saving us. It's in Your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed.